Sean, the dock worker strike, the International Longshoremen's Association, their walkout. Talk a bit about the economic impact. Will there be a short-term impact on consumers, on the economy? And if this goes on for any number of weeks, what would that impact look like?
In the short term, we may not have much of an impact. There's plenty of stuff that's still sort of in the pipeline, so to speak, being shipped out to retailers, grocery stores and stuff. Although there are some reports of people going out and panic buying in the grocery stores, so we're likely to see a bit of shortages that way. In terms of the overall impact, it's going to cost the economy about $5 billion a day. That's the estimate from, I believe, Goldman Sachs. You know, the longer it goes on, obviously, the more stuff is going to stack up. Of course, we're just going to start seeing backups all down the supply chain. So you're going to start to see shortages. You're just going to start to see prices climb up. They're going to try and deal with it to the extent that they can by rerouting a lot of the shipping to the West Coast ports, which is what they did when we had the supply chain crisis in 2021, because that was mostly ships being idled in the West Coast ports, and they rerouted them back to the East. Some of those apparently never really rerouted back to the West after the COVID crisis ended, but they can't do that, so they'll move it that way. You know, we're going to start to see some prices go up, and we're going to start to see shelves get bare, but maybe not in the next week or so, at least.
The Biden administration, of course, is concerned about this, and they have some various levers that they can pull here, including something called the Taft-Hartley Act, but they seem to be reluctant to do that. Would you explain what the Taft-Hartley Act would allow them to do and talk about their response?
The Taft-Hartley Act refers to some of the amendments in 1947 to the National Labor Relations Act, which is the main law that covers union activity in the U.S. It gives the White House the power in situations of national emergency to essentially force a deal in the contract negotiations, essentially to write up their own contract as if they're arbiters, to basically require the sides to do that if they feel it's hurting the overall economy and the safety of the nation. The Biden administration does not want to do that. They did it in 2022 with a threatened railway worker strike. And they got a lot of pushback from organized labor for that because they felt the feeling was that they acted prematurely out of a fear of the economy being damaged. So they don't want to see that happen again. And they don't want to offend organized labor in the lead up to the fall election. At the same time, if the economy does get bad, if prices start to spike and shelves start to get empty, the sitting administration is the one that's going to take the heat for that. So they're trying to sort of resolve this peacefully now if they can. But there is some push from trade associations to get them to bring the hammer down and end the strike if they can. They're going to hold off for the time being, but they might do that later on if they feel pressured into doing it.
A bit of being between a rock and a hard place here politically for the administration. And if we look at the actual issues that are at play here in the negotiations that have triggered this strike, Sean, one of the main concerns of the union seems to be the impact of automation and whether or not it would cost union jobs, but it's also a matter of efficiency. So could you talk a bit about automation and the role it is playing in this strike?
American ports are actually well behind international standard in terms of automation, you know, and just replacing jobs with robots, cranes, mechanized equipment, and the like. The World Bank puts out ratings of international ports in terms of efficiency, and there isn't a single U.S. one that's in the top 50, believe it or not. The closest ones are, I believe, Philadelphia and Charleston. The reason for that is simply because we have strong unions in the U.S., and they've fought tooth and nail against any form of automation, which they see as an existential threat to their jobs. You know, the ports have attempted to automate, have been pushed back on it, and that's one of the major issues at play in this contract negotiation. I mean, dock workers make pretty good money. The average is about $150,000 a year. They've been pushing for a 77% pay increase. The dock ports have offered 50%, but the real issue that seems to be holding it up is that the union wants no automation at all at the ports, and the ports are saying, that's not tenable. We need to get these things up to closer to the international standard, and that's, as far from what I can tell, is really the real underlying issue here. I mean, money is always something that can be negotiated and worked out. They'll usually accept something in between what both sides want. But in terms of automation, that's a much different issue. And their push for no automation at all is just going to, is not something that the industry can really accept. And they're going to try and push back against. So we're going to see something stretch out for a while as a consequence.
As you referenced, this strike is affecting ports on the East Coast, not the West Coast. In terms of contract negotiations, is this the first time that this whole issue of automation has become the key sticking point in a negotiation, or have we seen that in ports on the West Coast and elsewhere?
It's been an issue in all of them. I mean, it was one of the issues in the West when we had the supply chain crisis on the West Coast in 2021. One of the reasons why we're seeing it now is because there was a sort of deal that was pushed. Administration didn't exactly invoke Taft-Hartley, but they did step in and help negotiate one. And they negotiated a deal with more pay, but not much in the way of guarantees regarding automation. And the East Coast ports looked at that and said, we don't agree with that at all. So part of the reason why they're putting their foot down this time around is because they're afraid that history will repeat itself if they don't make a stand on this issue. So it's always been an issue, but it's bubbling closer to the surface now because of the more recent supply chain issues and strikes that we've had.
We have been talking with Sean Higgins. Sean is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Sean, tell us a little bit about CEI. Also, you have written on this topic and many others. Where can folks go to find those writings?
CEI is the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We are a nonprofit free market think tank. We believe in free minds and free markets and the belief that individual workers need to be empowered to be able to sell their labor on an open marketplace. You can find us at CEI.org and find my stuff there as well.
Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Sean, thank you for being back with us. Appreciate it.
Happy to be here.